What's up? What's happening? Friday on the Hoffman Show. We're always on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube as we do each and every day as well at the Team 980. And we come to you today with good news. Maybe something better than bad news. That's what we've got for you. Jaden Daniels practiced today, which I'm sure you heard on the Rooster Show. But if you're just tuning in, just getting out of work, the news is not the best, as in, like, hey, he practiced and he's playing. He was a limited participant, anticipating him being listed as questionable. We'll get the absolute latest and as much detail as we can pry out of Nikki Javala. She's been trying to pry information out of Dan Quinn and everybody else over there this week. But, yeah, it is a good sign for Jaden Daniels to potentially play on Sunday. According to Dan Quinn, they pushed things pretty hard today. They'll see how he responds tomorrow. And this was always kind of what I thought would happen if he had a chance to play. There was a chance we got to today and they were just like, yeah, he ain't playing. Like, we were hoping he'd feel better and he isn't, so he's not. But realistically, he's 23 years old. He seemed to feel okay-ish coming out of the game in terms of, it's not like it hurt him to move around, but we also know that, you know, 2 hours prior when he tried to throw a football, he slammed his helmet down and went back to the locker room. So it's not like he wasn't hurt. It's not like I don't think he could have come back in the Carolina game. I've seen some people say that, and I think that is overstating it. I think there was no reason to test it out, but he clearly didn't want to leave that game and was frustrated and hurt. As if evidenced by him throwing the ball and then throwing his helmet. Now we sit here with him on a Friday, having had, 5 days to rest, and he's probably feeling a lot better. Now, the big question is going to be, if they push it today and they had him make tough throws and throw on the run and move, and he was able to perform all of those tasks, how does he feel tomorrow? Because if he wakes up and he's crazy sore and he can't do it again, that feels a little bit risky, and it feels like, okay, well, then maybe we need to see how you feel Sunday morning, because if that's the case, okay, well, if you can just get through the game, then if we sit you in practice on Wednesday next week and it heals a little bit more, like, eventually you'll be back to normal, but you won't have to miss any games along the way. You're just going to have to deal with being a little bit sore. If he wakes up tomorrow and he's fine, well, then he's probably playing on Sunday. And I know that there is probably the opposite reaction you would expect of your star quarterback is going to play that most fans will have. And I understand that on a fundamental level, because the last time we went through this with a number 2 overall pick who had a meteoric rise and was looking like the talk of the town and all of that was Robert. And it's like, oh, hey, he wants to play. He's going to push it. And he played in the Seattle game. And then the turf monster got him and he was never the same again. These are very different scenarios. And I think we have to eventually just put on our big boy and girl pants on and just say they're different. Not to say that they should push him and they should do whatever, but it's not just because a guy gets hurt and then potentially comes back sooner than we maybe imagined doesn't inherently mean it's a mistake. Guys heal. And if he has legitimately healed and he is fine, well, then it's like the injury never happened. He's fine. If he's not fine, then he shouldn't play. Like, in that some ways, it's that simple. And none of us on the outside are going to know whether or not he's fine or not. We just have to trust that there's adults in the room now, and responsible adults in the room now, making these decisions in a way that back in 2012, there weren't as many responsible adults in the room, because the most powerful adult in the room was actually a giant man-child who had bought his favorite football team back in the late 90s and had no business making any kind of decisions, and he empowered the 23-year-old kid who just wanted to play over the responsible adults with the last name Shanahan and the general manager / team president, whatever Bruce was at the time, obviously not that good at the job and not a responsible adult by any stretch of the imagination on something like this, compared to Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and Josh Harris, who's going to go, don't listen to what Jaden says outside of asking him how he feels and letting the doctors translate that. listen to the doctors, and protect the asset. Okay, cool. Good talk. Like, if I'm Josh Harris and I'm getting involved, my involvement is he better be okay if he's playing, not whatever the kid says, because I want to be his friend. And so the situations are incredibly different outside of number two pick wearing burgundy and gold. And if he is truly well enough to play, he should play because that's what he gets paid to do. And by the way, I feel like on some level, it's a coping mechanism because, oh, well, if Marcus plays and then Chicago wins, well, hey, we can still say that when Jaden gets back, we're one of the best teams in football. We were 5-2 with Jaden. Whenever he gets back, like, we'll keep rolling. Then if you go beat the Giants next week, oh, we're 6-2 with Jaden. That's not as fun as competing. I want to see what he looks like against Chicago. I would rather see what he looks like if he was fully healthy and had a week of practice, but this is the NFL. Sometimes that stuff happens. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens tomorrow. If Sam Hartman gets called up from the practice squad, they could certainly just rule Jaden out then and there. They could also call Hartman up and then potentially roll with four quarterbacks on Sunday. Because technically, when you call someone up from the practice squad, you don't have to do anything with that. You can just call him up precautionarily. And then Sunday morning, if Jaden is inactive, you can make Jaden inactive and then Hartman the third quarterback and then Driscoll's your backup to Marcus. Like, you could do that. And you just have extra inactives. If you don't, then Hartman just becomes inactive, and congrats, dude. You get a big boy game check for the week. But Jaden's ready to go, and then Driscoll will probably be the third guy. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do tomorrow, because although practice is closed tomorrow, they do typically do some kind of walkthrough or something on a Saturday to get everybody moving and make sure that the final details are nailed down. And so whatever happens tomorrow, he'll report in the morning. He'll be sore or not. They'll move around. They'll test it. He'll pass or not. And then they'll do the same thing on Sunday. And hopefully we know by Sunday morning. I know if you got fantasy teams, and you know the bad part is Commanders are 4:00. So if your backup quarterback plays at 1 and you're waiting on a game time decision at, 3:00 when the inactives come out, like, that's a bad deal. But it's probably just going to be an anxious day on Sunday to see whether or not he plays. And then if he does, it's going to be anxious to see if he can make it through the game and if it becomes a problem at all and how he performs. And if he doesn't play, then it's an anxious day because Marcus Mariota is your quarterback, and that is not how you draw it up. So it's a big drop off. If Marcus plays average Marcus ball, if Marcus plays his face off, like, cool. There's a lot that they can do with Marcus at quarterback, but it is all going to run better with Jaden out there. And so I'm hoping not just for the Jaden Caleb stuff, like, I really want to see him against a really good defense, and I want to see what it looks like. And I think it's also a test of some of their process here. Like, they really like their process of getting ready for games. And I do too, in terms of the virtual reality stuff that he does or the walkthroughs. Like, he's participated in all that stuff this week. How ready can you get a player, especially at that position, at his experience level, for a game without practicing? Man, if they can do that, wow, what a compliment to Cliff Kingsbury and Anthony Lynn and Tavita Pritchard and Brian Johnson and everybody on that staff for preparing that. They probably have had to prepare some on some level to game plans this week, slight tweaks off of the same one, two branches off the same tree. But if nothing else, Chicago's had to deal with all this stuff too. So Chicago's got to know, hey, Mariota's in, this is what we're looking for. If Daniels is in, this is what we're looking for. And they don't know how effective he's going to be or what version of the offense is going to be called. So at the very, very least, because they've done everything right, because they've played it by the book as if to keep the option open for him to play, and the gamesmanship has worked. Now we find out if this has all been a ruse the entire time, or I guess in the next couple of days, we'll find out if it's been a ruse the entire time, or if it's a process that ultimately is because he's actually going to play, or maybe it was because he was actually going to play and he doesn't quite get past the finish line. This could have not been a ruse at all, and he still doesn't play. So those are the options. We'll find out soon enough. But it's not going to be today. Daniels participates in practice, likely listed as questionable for Sunday. We'll get an official injury report in just a little bit, and we'll share it with you here on the show. Again, Nikki Javala coming up at 5 o'clock today. We'll go around the NFL at 5:30, finish Friday. Your calls with predictions for the game coming up at 4:30. But next, we always ask on Friday, what's at stake? And how much does that answer change for Washington if Daniels plays? We'll discuss next on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. And on Fridays, we always ask a question. What's at stake for the Commanders in their game today, or on Sunday, I beg your pardon, as they take on the Chicago Bears? And it is, it's a question that I think is interesting because we, don't know whether Jaden Daniels is going to play. And I think a lot of people would feel, one way if he plays, one way if he's not. Like if he doesn't play and they win, like, oh my God, what found gold. Sweet. If he plays and they lose, well, then it's like a real loss and a real hit. They're not going to be like, oh, well, he was hurt, and unless he's out there and obviously like not 100%, and that ultimately is impacting the outcome. So in some ways, it's hard to answer this right now. But Anthony, I do think it's worth giving our best shot. And again, the latest news on Daniels is that he is likely going to be listed as questionable. And I think actually that might have just come out, the injury report. So I'm going to double click on this real quick. Oh man, that's a bummer. Thursday Night Football last night, Christian Darrisaw, this just in, he tore his ACL and MCL. So he's out for the season, their star left tackle. Yeah. So we have the, official injury designation as of like 5 minutes ago. Commanders are listing Jaden Daniels as questionable for Sunday. Dorrance Armstrong, also questionable. Brandon Coleman is out with a concussion. Those are the three that we've been looking at all week. So the fact that he's questionable, he's not doubtful, he's not obviously out, like there's a chance that he really plays. So, Anthony, if Jaden Daniels plays, and we assume that if he's playing, he's healthy, what's at stake for the Commanders on Sunday? If they win, what does it mean? If they lose, what does it mean?
I think offensively, I don't think we're too worried about how the offense will do with or without Jaden Daniels.
Who's we on that? Because I sure as bleep am.
What'd you say?
I said I sure am. Like, who's we on that? I'm very concerned about the offense without Jaden against this particular Chicago defense.
I mean, that's fair. I might have got a little too far out over my skis. But I do trust Cliff to call a good game just to, you know, make Marcus comfortable. That's more so like what I was getting at. But I think from a defensive standpoint, I think the teams that we've, you know, beaten up on, I think those are the teams we need to beat on. I think from a defensive standpoint, this is a great test, and it's going to tell us whether or not we can, you know, contend with some of the best teams in the NFL. Not to say the Bears are, you know, one of those teams, but they've been playing pretty good. They're coming off a bye week. So I'm more so like looking at it from a defensive standpoint in terms of where we'll trek or progress during the rest of the season.
I think that's a good point because I do think that the defense, this is a good enough challenge that it's not Cleveland, it's not Carolina last week where you can just beat up on them and they're barely NFL caliber. This is a real NFL offense with real NFL players up and down the roster. Now, it's not an elite offense by any stretch. Do not let their performance against the Jags and the Panthers fool you. And if all of a sudden you look like the Jags and the Panthers against this Bears offense, that is a bad sign for you, because if there's something you don't want to look like in 2024, it's the Panthers or the Jags. So I do think that that is a good point. I also do wonder, though, how much the Daniels for Mariota offensive efficiency switch impacts the defense. I think part of how this defense has been good this year is they've been in good situations from a game flow score standpoint, and they've also been kept off the field. I mean, that was a huge problem last season, is they were just on the field forever because Bieniemy kept just pass, punt, run, pass, field goal. Cool. Like that's what it was last year. This year, it's like run, pass, run, touchdown. Pass, run, pass, run, touchdown. Like, the drives are so much longer and the defense is on the field so much less that if all of a sudden Marcus is missing a couple extra throws and they're going three and out more often, can this defense hold up in some extra possessions? I was asked an interesting question earlier today. There's a program that we have. Why did I just say program? Like my grandmother does, and I'm 100 years old. There's a show that is on the Odyssey app on the weekends, hosted by my guy Andrew Filipponi. It's a FanDuel radio show, and we taped something today, which either you'll hear on Sunday or we'll redo live on Sunday because all of a sudden Jaden is going to be playing and everything we said is not going to make as much sense. But the total in this game, Anthony, is only like 43.5. And Andrew asked me, he goes, which do you think Washington would favor, the over or the under? In other words, what's a better situation for Washington, the over or the under that 43.5 or whatever the number is on Sunday, somewhere in that range? And I was like, I think it's the over. Because I think they don't mind a track meet, and I think if they can get going offensively and start scoring a bunch of points, their defense is set up better that way in a Caleb Williams is chasing the game versus a grind it out, slow, you know, punt fest where there's a million possessions in the game and you're just more likely to give up big plays that way. Like, they're bend but don't break. The less opportunities you have to break, the better. And so if they can be in a higher scoring game where Chicago's got to take some more chances, I think that risk reward can tilt the risk in Washington's favor. And to me, that's like actually one of the huge keys to the game. The other big thing we always ask on Friday is like, what's the key to the game? I think there is a sweet spot of aggression for Joe Witt Jr. defensively. And I don't know exactly what it is. I just know it exists somewhere, and it's his job to find it. That's why he makes what he makes, and I sit here in front of a microphone and make what I make. But you gotta light Caleb up a little bit. You want to invite him to throw deep a little bit because he'll give you a chance to catch an arm punt and go the other way. But I also don't want to be the team that he finds the deep ball against. And with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze against these corners, I am very, very averse to putting those guys in a ton of one-on-one, man-to-man situations.
Yeah, I think that's in part, you know, why I felt this was, you know, a nice test for the defense because, again, we know what DJ Moore does against poor corners. We know what he did.
I seriously don't understand why they're wearing those black jerseys again. Like, DJ Moore is going to see those jerseys that he saw last year on Thursday night
and be like,
goody, goody gumdrops. I like this.
8 catches, 230, 10 targets, 3 touchdowns.
Ugh.
Man. Yeah, so you got DJ Moore. You also got Keenan Allen. And then also Cole Kmet, who has been targeted. Craig, he's been targeted 29 times, and he has 26 receptions. That's pretty impressive.
That's real good.
So, again, I think this is going to be a good test for the defense. If it is a track meet, though, we're definitely probably going to need Jaden at QB. Or unless, you know, we can, sustain, get our running game going because they are susceptible against the run. They've given up 90, 100 yards to running backs the entire season. So maybe if that's our game plan, but a track meet, I think Jaden is going to be our best bet.
Well, of course, Jaden's your best bet. Like, he's a better quarterback. There's in a slog it out game, Jaden's your best bet. He's just the better quarterback. I do think the run game is the biggest thing for what, like, thing I feel best about this weekend. Washington running the football on Chicago. They're not a great run defense. They've been exceptional against the pass. But they have given up a ton of chunk plays this year, and Washington has been as good as any team in the league outside of Baltimore, basically, at getting chunk plays on the ground. And that is one part of the game that Marcus not does as well as Jaden because he's not quite as explosive if he were to break one in the open field. Like, they can get to that, hey, it's time to run full speed, and then Jaden's full speed's a lot faster. But Marcus is a tremendous ball handler. So some of the zone read stuff, he's good at making the decisions. He's good at pulling the defensive end out. Like, you know, even a guy like Montez Sweat, who's athletic enough to play the dive, play the keep, he can really ride that handoff long enough to make Montez that half step slow that he needs to be, whether he pulls it or gives it. And so there's a lot of really good run game stuff that I think is still on the table with Marcus. In fact, most of it. The question is going to be, what kind of boxes are you seeing? Mm-hmm. Because against Jaden, I don't want to play light boxes, or I don't want to play heavy boxes, because then he's probably going to throw on us, and that's not good. Against Marcus, I'm like, you are not, like, if I'm thinking, if I'm doing Chicago radio this afternoon, I'm screaming, maybe not screaming, I'm emphatically saying, stop the run, stop the run, stop the run, stop the run. I don't care if you got nine guys in the box. If Marcus Mariota beats us, oh well, I know, look, Terry McLaurin's great, but we got Jalen Johnson. We're going to match him up one-on-one. And if Terry beats Jalen, then, like, congrats on being the first guy to beat Jalen in a long time. Salute have to. If they want to beat us with Noah Brown and Deami Brown and Olamide Zaccheaus on the rest of our guys, okay, we'll lose that way. But they are not running the football on us. And so if that's Jaden Daniels, I am not saying that. And that is, like, the difference in those two guys on top of their ability to execute whatever. It's like, I think it completely changes the defensive game plan if I'm Chicago. But I am also of the Belichick school that I am adapting my defense week to week to what the offense wants to do and making them beat us another way. Matt Eberflus is much more of a, like, just, this is our defense. We play it really well. We're going to do it. So I think they're going to see a lot of single high, you know, which, again, it's that heavier box, a lot of single high, but they're also going to potentially have to do it. I got to go check the Bears side of the injury report without Jaquan Brisker. So it's going to be dicey for both sides, missing some key guys potentially. And if all of a sudden Jaden's in there, Washington's not really missing anybody but Brandon Coleman. And so that's a pretty significant game changer as well. Chicago potentially without, and actually, let me just go ahead and see if I can find this real quick. Let's see. Bears, have you put out your injury report yet? They put out roster moves. They released a fullback and waived. Oh, they waived Velus Jones, big Hard Knocks star. Bears Friday injury report. Brisker and Gordon are out. So their star nickel and their star safety, both out, concussion and hamstring respectively. That is a big deal for Washington on Sunday. Big deal. When we get back, your predictions, 301-230-0980. It's a finish Friday, and we want to know how you think the game is going to finish on Sunday. 301-230-0980. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. And again, Jaden Daniels has been listed as questionable for the game on Sunday. Out for the Bears, Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon. So we want to know your predictions. It's Finish Friday here on the Hoffman Show in honor of what they do in Ashburn, where they have their own Finish Friday. But instead of working on tackling drills and scoop and score drills, we just ask you how the game's going to finish on Sunday. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. Let's start off with Rick in Fayetteville. Rick, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, what's up, Greg?
What's up?
All right, man. Yeah, man. I think he shouldn't play on Sunday. I just think, you know, give him time to rest and heal. I think we still can beat the Bears with Mariota at quarterback, but I just prefer just give him an extra week's rest. I think.
Rick, let me ask you a question. What do you know about his injury that makes you say that?
I just think any type of injury to your core section, I just think, you know, it needs time to heal and rest.
He's 23 years old. So if they come out and they say, hey, he's ready to go, he's 100%. We gave him all the tests. All the imaging looks good. You still don't want him to play just because it'll make you feel better?
No, I mean, if that's what they feel, I trust this group. I mean, it's not like in the past I wouldn't trust him, but I trust Dan and them. So if they say he's good to go, then he's good to go. But, you know, if it's questionable, well, there is some doubt there. I mean, you don't want to see him get re-injured.
Of course, of course. And I just wanted to kind of unwrap that point because I also trust this group. And I think we're actually on the same page. But I'm kind of at this point, like, we're not going to know. And if they tell us he's fine, he's fine. If he's not, he's not. And I don't think they're going to play him because I think Adam Peters is going to be involved in this decision. I'm sure Jaden's mom, who's also his agent, is probably involved in this decision. And that, by the way, is typical, the player and their team get a say, as well, especially someone as high profile. And obviously if they don't want to play there, they can't go out there. So I think that we have to trust them, and it sounds like you do and I do. But I think it's more interesting, the other part of what you said, why are you confident? I'm not doubting it. I'm just asking you to expound. Why are you confident that they can beat Chicago with Marcus Mariota if Jaden is not ready to go?
I think Mariota, I mean, because he's the type of quarterback that they don't have to change much because of Jaden. Now, if Driscoll was the backup quarterback, then I think it would be more issues because you almost would have to change the way you call the game. But with Mariota, I think they'll call the game close to what they did with Jaden. I also think they'll be able to run the ball against the Bears, and because you don't want Mariota throwing more than 20 or 25 times.
For sure. For sure. I agree. Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call, Rick. Anthony, I see the call sheet, and I have to ask you a question before I take any more calls. Is everyone just want to call in and talk about their feelings about Jaden Daniels' ribs? Is that what we have here? We asked for game predictions. I'm not trying to go at Rick, because Rick also gave a game prediction. But everything you have down is so-and-so thinks Jaden's going to play or not is not going to play.
But if you want them to pivot to
I want game predictions.
I think that's what it should be.
And it can be if Jaden plays, if that. Because I have a news flash for everyone, and I'm sorry to be this person on a Friday. I don't care about your feelings about Jaden Daniels' ribs. I just don't. I cannot possibly care about your feelings because his ribs don't care about your feelings. The doctors don't care about your feelings. They're going to make a medical decision based off of how he can move, how he can throw, can he perform the job, what is the re-injury risk, and how you feel about it as a fan, as a person who's not Jaden Daniels, as a person who's not Dan Quinn, as a person who's not Adam Peters, doesn't matter. And so I'm not going to waste everyone's time here on the radio listening to caller X, and I'm not going to say any names here. I'm just going to say, if you want to, like, I'm telling you, if you're on hold right now and that was your plan is to have this be football therapy so you can talk about your feelings about Jaden Daniels' ribs, you're going to have to call another show today. Just to hang up now if you're on hold and that was your thing. If you want to talk about how this game's going to play out, if Jaden's in or not, that's fine. That's what we're trying to do here. That's a good time. I'm up for it. I'm game because that's interesting. But I'm scared for Jaden Daniels' rib. We're all scared for Jaden Daniels' rib. Like, he's probably scared for his rib. Dan Quinn and Adam Peters, like, they got the draft pick right. Their futures are on the line. It doesn't matter how any of us feel about it. And us being more or less scared and being whatever, you know, I don't think he should play, doesn't impact how healthy he actually is. The rib does not hear you and go, oh, Brenton Bowie, that was a made up name, Brenton Bowie is scared. I feel better now. Or, oh, I feel worse. I'm not going to work today so that Brenton Bowie doesn't have to watch Jaden Daniels play on Sunday. I'm sure somebody, I'm sure your friends, maybe your family, your kids, I don't know. Somebody might care about your feelings about Jaden Daniels' ribs and whether or not he should play. I don't. The doctors don't. Jaden Daniels doesn't. Dan Quinn doesn't. Adam Peters doesn't. And those people are the people that are going to make the decision. And I make the decision on what we talk about on this radio show. And I'm not doing rib fear talk. It's a silly way to spend our time. And I already spent too much time ranting on whether or not we should be talking about it, which the answer is we're not. Jeremy's in Baltimore, and he wants to talk about the game, so Jeremy's going to get to be on the show. Jeremy, thank you for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Thank you. I live in Baltimore. It's been a tough 25 years for me living up here as a longtime Washington supporter. Couldn't be more excited about, obviously, the quarterback situation, but more importantly, the ownership group. I, which I totally agree with you. I completely trust whatever decision they make. I do have one exception with what you mentioned, but I want to get to one point too. If this is not a knee injury or a ankle situation, if Jaden can throw and run, like, he should play. This is a huge game, right? That could have implications for a playoff tiebreaker situation. This is not an RG3 type situation where the man couldn't move, right? Like, so I totally trust whatever conversation Jaden is having with Adam Peters, the coach, the owner. What makes me uncomfortable, though, is when you mentioned his mom, the agent, would have input into this decision, which reminds me very much of, like, the previous situation, which was completely whack, right? Like, Jaden's mom shouldn't have any input into this conversation. If the man can throw the football without pain, and listen, he took a shot against the Giants in the ribs that could have predicated where we are right now. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't.
It's totally unrelated. He got folded up. Right. Like, we all watched it happen. And every agent has a conversation with the general manager about their player. The fact that it happens to be his mom, who's a very competent and smart person, it's no different.
Well, it's just really odd that after Mariota threw his touchdown pass, that her response to him being injured was, he's fine. Literally, it happened within minutes of that happening. But my greater point is probably consistent with what you're saying. Like, our defensive coaches are their big thing, and Dan Quinn's big thing is, we want to arrive violently, right? Like, this is a violent sport. Jaden can get hurt on anyone can get hurt on the next play and be done for the year. I don't think having a sore core is going to make whether or not he gets injured on the next play any more relevant. So I think you and I agree, and I hope to see Jaden play, even if he's not 100%, if it's not going to put him at risk or give our team less of an opportunity to win. And I'll head out and listen.
Yeah, no, Jeremy, I think that's well said at the end there. That's the point. Is, like, if it raises your chances to win more games in the long run because you're not actually putting him at re-injury risk and it helps you win this game, then he should play because it's football and he's better than Marcus. And somehow in a segment where we do this literally every week. Anthony, I'm so ready to cancel this segment. Typically, we never get calls, and now we got a bunch of people who don't want to talk about the topic. So maybe we'll do, like, am I in a grouchy mood today or something? Or just people not following instructions? Is this me, or is this, do I need to check my attitude? Or is this a lack of proper participation here?
I think people are taking whatever you say and basically going another way.
Yeah. And now, of course, they're going to want to fight me because I'm being antagonistic. I don't know what we're going to do next, but it's not whatever we just did for the last 12 minutes. To finish Friday on the Hoffman Show, Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Nikki Javala joining us coming up at 5 o'clock with the latest on Jaden Daniels, who practiced on Friday and is listed as questionable for the game. Just to be really clear, I obviously appreciate everyone calling in. I appreciate you listening to the show. I definitely want to try to talk about everything that, you know, people want to talk about. But our opinion on whether Jaden Daniels whether or not he's going to play is not based off any information that you need to make that decision. And thus, that's why I am not going to take call after call about people's opinions on something that we have no control over, nor can we have an informed opinion on, because we simply do not know the relevant medical information, nor are any of us really qualified probably as medical professionals. Maybe if you're a doctor out there and you are, great. But, like, since considering nobody knows his injury, nevertheless, how he responded to the treatment and the workout, it is not worth our time to sit here and speculate on whether he should or shouldn't play. It is fun and much less. And because it's someone's, like, medical situation, I don't think that's really appropriate to speculate on. Who's going to win a football game? Now we're talking. So let's try this again. Finish Friday at 301-230-0980. Who's going to win? It can be if Jaden plays this, if Marcus plays that. But I need a score prediction and it may be a reason why you think it's going to go that way. Let's go to Matthew in DC. Matthew, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, thanks, Craig. And I understood the assignment, so I've got it covered.
Let's go.
I believe the Washington Commanders are going to win. And they're going to do so because Caleb Williams has had two different types of games, home and away. Now, granted, his away games were earlier in the season, but he is vulnerable away from the stadium generally. In a, like, for example, of his five interceptions, four were thrown with only two TDs on away games. So I feel like there's a little bit of home and away opportunity. In addition, I think that our team is solid and competent enough on all phases that even though the Bears probably have the stronger defense of all of the units that are going to be on the field, they're not so much stronger than our offense, that our offense won't be moving the ball and scoring. And we will be able to, I believe, limit the Bears' points. And so my prediction for the score is actually 31-14.
Wow, that is a big Commanders win. Matthew, thank you for understanding the assignment and great stuff on the road away splits. It's interesting. Some of those numbers are technically affected by what happened in London, which was obviously away, a long way away from Soldier Field, but he was technically the home team. And so the touchdown numbers that he put up on Jacksonville count towards the home numbers. And those away numbers obviously would look better if you count that London game, but also that's against the Jags. So I do think it's a relevant thing though, like not neutral site. Can the Commanders have a good home crowd on Sunday? That would be cool. Would love to see that. Let's go to someone who's not quite as optimistic, it sounds like. Let's go to Ed. Ed, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Hello, Craig. I understand excitement also. And in my opinion, you know, with the way Caleb has played the last 3 weeks, he has improved significantly. They have the better roster. They have a much better defense. And even though they're missing two key guys in their secondary, I believe context is very important. And, you know, Mariota had one of the best games of his career against one of the worst defenses in the NFL based upon all the injuries Carolina had. I don't expect him to perform nearly at that level if he should start. And I think the Bears have turned over just about every team they played. They played Houston, and they held Houston down. That means they really have a decent, a top third of the league defense. I don't see any way Washington can keep this thing close if Mariota starts. So I got my final score is 34-17 Bears.
All right, Ed, thanks for the call. And I think there's a lot of valid points in there. There's no doubt Chicago's defense is really good. I think it's interesting, though. Like, what if I told you, here's a fun, what if I told you that in most rush rankings, you know, yards, EPA per play, whether you want to go advanced stats or non-advanced stats, regular stats that people are more used to, the Commanders and Bears defenses are pretty right next to each other in all of them. I believe once 12th and once 13th in EPA per play or something like that. So you can get the Bears on the ground. And to me, that's the hope for Washington. They have to get their run game going. And if they do, I think they have a really great shot. If they don't, and you got a pass on a team that is the second best against the pass in the league EPA per play with especially Marcus Mariota, well, now we're talking about a different kind of challenge. Let's go to Aveen in D.C. Aveen, you're on the Hoffman Show on a Finnish Friday. Who you got and why?
Hey, Craig, I've got us winning 27-20 if Jaden plays. I've got us losing 27-20 if Mariota plays. I think we'll be able to run the ball, like you said. I think the key is staying ahead of the sticks. I'm just a little worried if Mariota plays, if he's got some sacks, some turnovers in him. But I'm interested in hearing what you have to say about this. I think this is really a game to see, has our defense gotten better? Can we be more of a middling defense? You know, the Bears have played their past three games, the three teams with, I think they're dead last in EPA, bottom three teams in EPA, defensive EPA or DVOA. And I'm just interested, is our defense going to look more like that? Or, you know, can we show that we've gotten better? You know, can we pressure him? Can we speed him up? That Bears offensive line isn't great. Can we force some turnovers? Like, I think this is a game for the defense to show itself.
I 100% agree that the opportunity is there. Aveen, thanks for the call. I 100% agree that the opportunity is there. Now, if Mariota's turning the football over and putting them in bad spots, like, that's obviously not going to be ideal. And I think we're going to have to look at this game as a whole on Monday when we break it down. But I do think that this, like, here's the thing that I feel good about. I feel good that the Commanders can come up with a plan that makes life difficult for the Bears offensively. My fear is that they are good enough to overcome that. That when the opportunities present itself, when Joe Witt Jr. decides, hey, this is the right time to go on a blitz and let's leave some one-on-ones on the outside, that DJ Moore can make some stupid, gigantic play. That Keenan Allen, who is a very, very good route runner, is the kind of player that does give me a little bit of concern against a Benjamin St. Juice. And he's obviously enormously tall. And so getting him on Saner still doesn't feel like the right matchup either. Like, where does Forbes have a role in this game? DJ Moore ate him alive last year. He's big, he's powerful, and he was able to kind of push Forbes around a little bit. So I think there's a lot of variables in this game defensively for Washington, including, by the way, the return of Dorrance Armstrong, who is questionable as well. Jordan McGee is back this week. So does he play? And if he does that push Luvu onto the edge more? So there's some interesting wrinkles that Joe Witt Jr. can throw at the Chicago Bears offense. But I think that the opportunity is there to prove that you're not elite. They're not going to go and shut out the Bears, I don't think, obviously. I mean, that would be crazy if they did. First shutout they would have had since 1991. But if they can go hold them to 21 points, can the offense get 24? Like, that to me is kind of where this game is probably going to lie if Marcus Mariota's playing. If Jaden's playing, then, well, maybe they can get up to 27, you know, 28, 29, somewhere in there. If they were to score 30 on this Bears team, then this offense is gross because they haven't given up more than 21 in 12 straight games. Maybe without Brisker and without Gordon, that's gettable, but we're going to find out on Sunday. We'll find out more of what went down in Ashburn today from Nikki Javala next, the Washington Post. Commanders beat reporter joins us for Not My Beat here on the Hoffman Show.